Welcome back to our Psalms of History series that runs alongside of our Harmony of the Histories. We're looking at Psalms and we're playing with a little creative license, looking into the narrative as the history unfolds, the story of David unfolds. We've been in 1 Samuel chapter 18, coming off David's victory over Goliath, navigating palace drama. He's got the praise of the people, the adoration of Jonathan, but Saul's very skeptical, throwing spears. He's being sent out into battle. A lot of things are going on in David's life. And we can look at certain Psalms that were written by David, or at least historically attributed to David. And I think we can plug them into various moments to try to gain insight. We are going to take a lot of license with Psalms 121. Psalms 121 fits a category of Psalms known as the Psalms of the Ascent. In the actual language here, we don't have it attributed directly to David, although historically it seems likely that David was the author. These are the Psalms of Ascent, as mentioned. They were to be sung as the children of Israel are ascending to Jerusalem for the various feasts. These Psalms were compiled together as the Psalms of Ascent by King Hezekiah. But it's the same token, it seems as though that this was probably authored by David and this just included in this section. I think you'll get an idea of why I attribute this to David during this season where Saul's throwing spears and David's trying to navigate things above his pay grade. I mean, he's come from the fields of Bethlehem. He's been a shepherd. He knows sheep. He knows sheep. That's about it. He's a slinger. He throws stones. He's not a man of war. He's never had men under his authority. He's never navigated the drama of the courts, the interpersonalities of all the people involved. I mean, David is really learning on the fly, and he needs wisdom. He needs to rely on the Lord. This is why I love the way that this, again, Psalms 121, the way that it opens. David writes, he says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. And then he asks the question, from whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? David needs help. He needs wisdom. He's above his skis. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to navigate these things. I'm desperate for help. But he answers his question. He says, I'll lift my eyes, a decision of the will. I'll lift my eyes to the heavens, to the hills. Where does my help come from? Verse 2, he answers, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Yeah, I love the fact that David does two things. Like, where does my help come from? Who can I rely on when I can rely on no one else? When I'm not sure who's friend or foe, who I can trust, who's going to stab me in the back, who's going to throw a spear, who's going to betray me? Who can I rely on in my moment of help? Like when I need help. Similar for you and I. When there are situations in our lives where we just don't know what to do. And we're desperate for counsel or advice or like we need help. We need someone to aid us. Well, David says, you know where I can find help? I can find help in the Lord. First, he uses capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, the personal name of God revealed to the children of Israel, revealed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, the tribes, Moses and Aaron, Joshua, Caleb. This personal name of God. Hey, where is my help going to come from? It's not going to come from men. It's not going to come from data. It's not going to come from counselors, human counselors, shrinks. No, my help is going to come from my Lord. This personal connection. And not just that personal connection, but then he's like, he reminds himself who his Lord is. Who made heaven and earth. Like the idea here is that our Lord is more than able to help us because, well, he made everything. Like it's placing the awesomeness of God into context of what I need help with. Like if God can speak all things into existence, then in a situation where I see no possible remedy, He can speak into existence what I can't see. Like, he's that big. He's that powerful. I don't just have a helper. I have the creator of the universe as my helper. That's awesome. Like, what a healthy reminder for us to remember who God is, who Jesus is. Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of all things, which makes him more than able to help you with whatever it is that you are facing, even if it's huge from your perspective. He says, verse 3, that the Lord will not allow your foot to be moved. God places us on a sure foundation, that God is, he's our help because he's steady. He doesn't waver. He doesn't react or overreact. He's sure. He won't allow my foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. This word keeps in the Hebrew, it's shamar is the word. It's used 6 times in this very small song. That the Lord keeps us. He puts our foot on a solid foundation. He's our help. He's the creator, but he keeps us. He holds us together. He sustains us. Have you ever been in a situation where you just felt as though that God was asleep at the wheel? Well, this psalm should remind you, he's not slumbering. He's not ignorant of what you're facing. He's very aware. Like, nothing catches God off balance. Nothing comes as a surprise. Even in your life, like, whatever you need help with, God already foresaw that. He already knew it, and he's going to give your foot a solid foundation, and he's going to keep you. He's not asleep at the wheel. He's very aware. Never take silence for the absence of his presence or his interest. Continuing, David declares, the Lord is your keeper. That word again. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. I love that phrase. The Lord is your shade. Like, what does that mean? And again, David's using poetic language. The Lord is our helper. He gives us a foundation. He keeps us. He's aware, but he also covers us. Like, he's our shade. Now, in the Middle East, there was not a lot of shade. That was prevalent. Desert environments, conditions, like, shade was a premium, especially during the heat of the day when the temperature was turned up. The temperature difference between being in direct sunlight and being in the shade is demonstrable. I went to Bible college in Southern California in the high desert area, and it would get up, temperatures would get up into the 100, 101, 102. And yet, because there was relatively no humidity, the temperature difference between just being in the sun and then getting into the shade, there was a coolness, there was a refreshment. That's what David's saying, like, the Lord is your shade. Like, the children of Israel, as they leave Egypt, as they make their way to the promised land, we're told that God led them by a pillar of a fire at night and a cloud by day. And we often think, well, the cloud's up ahead, and as the cloud moves, the children of Israel followed. I think it's the language is actually different. It's that the children of Israel stayed under the cloud. Why? Because it was the desert and it was shade. And when the shade moved, what would they do? Well, they're going to stay with the shade. But the Lord is our shade. His person is where we find refreshment, protection. He adds, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord is our keeper and he's our shade. He protects us. Verses 7 and 8, closing out the psalm. Again, this is a short one. David writes, the Lord, again, Jehovah, shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You think that David's trying to hammer home the fact that the Lord will preserve you? 3 times in just these 2 verses, he repeats, the Lord shall preserve you. The Lord shall preserve you. The Lord shall preserve you. You think the Lord will preserve you? Again, David in 1 Samuel 18 is dealing with things he's never dealt with before. He's trying to navigate dicey situations. And in the middle of all this, there's an awareness. Like, I can't do this on my own. I need help. And instead of looking at human helpers or human strategies, I can see him playing his harp and pinning this. You know, where does my help come from? My help comes from the one that will preserve me and sustain me and keep me and refresh me. And he is the creator and he's my Lord. With whatever you're going through, like David here, get your eyes off your problem and get your eyes up to the hills, because it's from there that what? Well, the Lord, that's where your help comes from. If you enjoyed this psalm, check out all of the Psalms of History. They are on the website, calvary316.tv/histories. That page has all of our Bible studies as we're working our way, the harmony of the histories. But we have the Psalms also listed there in connection with the Bible studies. Again, Psalms 121 correlating with the experiences of David and Psalms and 1 Samuel chapter 18. Hope you enjoyed. God bless.